The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, humble themselves and pray. Hallelujah. I don't know where to go with this message this morning. God has just got me all over the place. But I want to talk to you this morning about revival. Amen. I want to talk to you about a stirring that's going on in my soul. Listen, I don't want to just stand up here on Sunday mornings and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with you and the good news of the freedom in Jesus Christ. I want to be able to take it out there and live it in my life every day. I want people to see the truth of the gospel of Jesus, that it really does set you free. That it's freedom. That it's power. It's not just some religious jargon that is good for people on Sunday mornings. It's a lifestyle that changes you. Wherever you go, people see the light of the gospel in you. Wherever you go, there is power to set the captives free. I want it to happen everywhere. But the first place it has to happen is here. In here. I want to talk to you this morning about there's a difference between revival and awakening. But revival precipitates awakening. You have to be once alive to be revived. Amen? Before I get too far into this, let's turn to Acts. I'm going to be talking about, this is a series that I'm going to start. We're going to be looking at Acts and the Acts, it's referred to as the Acts of the Apostles, but in reality, it's the Acts of the Church, Jesus Christ. Now, it does pinpoint a few of the apostles and some of the things that they did after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power that they carried with them. But all the things that happened during that period of time are not recorded. The things that we have are recorded for our help, for our encouragement. But we have to understand there was as much power released in the life of all those apostles as the ones that we read about in Acts. So let's turn to Acts chapter 1 to begin with. I normally have an outline, but I got to tell you, I really struggled with trying to figure out exactly where God is taking me and taking us on this journey in regards to revival. So, what you get this morning, God has been pouring into my spirit all week. And I just couldn't seem to put it on paper. I'm not comfortable with that. You all know that. I like my nice, neat little outline. I like to be able to put it up on the screen so that you can see it and it reminds me of my direction. That's my comfort zone. Well, God is saying, it's not about comfort, Rob. In fact, it's more about being free to let the Lord lead and direct us. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not going to have outlines it's not right for me to have an outline. I'm just telling you where I am right now, today, at this time, and what God is speaking to me. Revival is what God is speaking to me. Awakening is what God is speaking to me. In Acts chapter 1, it says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He's referring to, this is the author of this book of Acts is Luke. Luke was a doctor. We know from the scripture, Paul mentioned that he was a doctor. Luke was a Greek. He was a very educated man. You can tell by the writings, and we can understand that he was educated in the Greek philosophies. So he knew all about the Greek religion. But he came under the influence of the power of the Holy Spirit, and he began to realize that all the Greek gods were not gods, and there was only one true God. And Luke became a believer in Jesus Christ as the one true Savior of the world. And because of his education, he made it a point to not only write a gospel, but to write the account that we find in Acts. All the true account that we find in Acts of what took place in the church. Everything that he recorded is true and absolute. Many people will tell you that the book of Acts, or liberal theologians would say that the book of Acts was written about 300 or 400 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But the reality is, and it's recorded, and it's real, the book of Acts was written somewhere between about 30 years after, about 62 A.D., 62 to 63 A.D., after the death, burial, and resurrection. And theologians agree that Jesus died somewhere between 30 and 33 A.D. So within 30 years. That's unheard of in ancient manuscripts. None other than the Bible is that close to the reality of the things that happened. So Luke wrote these things to us so that we would know. It's recorded, and we can have confidence in it that it really did happen. Jesus came and he showed himself to 500 people. Wow, that's enough right there to let us know that Jesus really did come back to life. No one objects to the fact that he lived on the face of the earth, that he died on the cross. The objection always is whether he came back to life or not, whether he died and defeated death and hell by coming back to life. That's the objection. I want to tell you this morning, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And he's alive so that we can have newness of life in him. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. He walked on the face of the earth after his resurrection, and he stayed with them for 40 days, teaching them, training them, empowering them. These men... Now, here's what I want you to understand, that revival must take place in the hearts and the minds of God's people. It takes place in us. It has to be a stirring. It has to be a desire. And it will not happen unless God's people press in. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and everything else will be taken care of." Seek kingdom. Seek the kingdom. Seek. What's that mean? It means that we've got to draw so close to God that we have a kingdom expectation. That wherever we go and whatever we do, God is on the throne. That he's moving. Revival. I believe God wants to bring revival in this place. In his people. Are we willing to receive it? Are we willing to pay the price for it? It's a rhetorical question because I don't want anybody to raise their hands. But I'm asking you, are you willing to pay the price for revival? Because there's a price to pay. If real revival comes to this place, and I believe it's on its way. If it comes to this place, everyone sitting in here will have to make a choice. You will choose to pay the price. Understand there's going to be rejection. The world's going to reject the move of God. They always have. There's going to be ridicule. Some of that will come from the church, from your family, who do not understand the things that happen when the Holy Spirit moves upon people. That price will have to be paid by every one of us. You will either pay the price or you'll choose not to be a part of it. I've come to this conclusion. Whatever it costs. Whatever it costs. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, Jane, I love you. I know you do. Love you and your family. You've meant so much to me and Tammy and to this church. You've been such a blessing to us. Thank you for all the pies. They are so good. Yeah. Even when you bake those for Tammy, I eat half of them. Sometimes more. But as I was praying this week, I felt like the Lord said, tell Jane that before she leaves this earth, she will see the revival and outpouring that she has prayed about and believed for all these years. Hallelujah. Doing it again. I know this. God desires His people to humble themselves before Him. I want to tell you men something. In order to see a real revival take place, it takes strong men who are willing to humble themselves before the Lord and cry out for revival. God will open the doors. God will stir our hearts. God will do the things that are necessary to bring us closer to Him. He'll lay the foundations. He'll set the stones so that we can walk on them. But it's our responsibility to walk on them, on every one of them. The stepping stones are there. God loves you women. But things happen when men get serious about serving the living God. There's an old song. Revive us again. How many know that song? Heard that song? Oh, hallelujah. There's a version of it done by Big Daddy Weave that I love because it's my type of music and I just really love it. But regardless of what version you like, you've got to love the words of that song. Revive us again. Let me pull this out here real quick. We praise you, O God, for the Son of your love, for Jesus who died and has now gone above. Who praise you, O God, for the Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and cleansed every stain. Revive us again, fill our hearts with your love, and may our souls be rekindled in fire from above. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again. That's my call. That's my desire. Revive us again, Lord. Now, in order to be revived, you have to once be alive. So Jesus, in this song, Patton McKay, who wrote the song, is saying, stir us again, Lord. Stir our hearts to desire you again, like I used to. When I first became born again, when I turned to you and I knew the power and the essence of the Holy Spirit stirring me every day of my life. Revive me like I used to be revived, like I used to be alive. Cause me to be alive again. Yes. Breathe your breath into me. The revives. I mean, what happens when somebody almost drowns? You have to pull them out of the water. Sometimes you have to do CPR, anything, pump the water out of them, whatever. You have to revive them because they're almost dead. If you let them go too long, they're going to die. God's desire this morning is to revive this church. Bring new life into our spirit and our soul. God is stirring, man. He's been stirring me about all kinds of things in regards to this church. Things are changing. Pastor Otis had a dream, and I believe it was prophetic. He had a dream that he came in, and the church was being torn apart, and we were starting over. He didn't know that God has been dealing with my heart, that we're starting over. We're going in a new direction. The power of God is going to be released in this place. And I'm not going to apologize for it. I refuse to do that. God's will is for us to be revived. It has to come in this place before it will ever take place out there. Revival has to come in our hearts. Glory. And being assembled together, verse 4 in Acts, with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Hallelujah. He said, go and tarry. Go and wait. Go and prepare yourselves. God is trying to prepare us for revival. Are we going to respond to it? The guy that wrote this song, Revive Us Again, he was raised in a Christian home, Patton McKay. And as a young boy, he received Christ. But when he got older, he strayed from the faith. He became a medical doctor. And when he was leaving to go to college, his mother gave him a Bible and wrote some things in that Bible. And while he was in college, well, he sowed his wild oats. And he was a little wild and crazy, did a lot of partying and a lot of drinking and things that in that day. And he got so desperate one time for a bottle that he sold the Bible that his mother gave him. Well, he was able to manage to move on, but he never, at this point in his life, he never came back to the faith. And he became a medical doctor, and he was caring for a guy who was about to die, and he knew it. And the guy asked for several things, and one of the things that he asked for before he died, he said, I need my book. Get my book for me. So no one really responded to it, and the man passed away, but McKay said that message just kept going over and over in his mind, get my book, I need my book. So he decided to do some research on it. And he went to this guy's apartment, and he talked to the landlord, and he told her, you know, he wanted his book, and I just need to see what this book is. And he searched through the whole apartment, and the only thing he could find was a Bible, an old Bible. And he opened that Bible up, and it wasn't just any Bible. It was the Bible that his mother had given him years ago. I want you to know, God will chase you to the ends of the earth.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
To get your attention. And he's speaking to you right now.
You
may need revival. You may know the truth. But you've strayed from that. He wants you to come back. He's calling you. He's speaking to you, and he'll do everything it takes, even if it means doing something like bringing your Bible back to you like he did McKay, so that you can see. It'll be some kind of supernatural event that will take place because God wants to get your attention. He loves you that much. That's revival. That's personal revival. From that point on, McKay realized that God had a different calling for his life. He resigned from being a doctor, went to theological seminary, and became a pastor, pastored a church for the rest of his life, and wrote many hymns. This is just one of them. God got his attention. That's personal revival. But I want you to understand something, that when personal revival takes place in a group of people, things begin to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When personal revival happens in me and Eddie and Trish and Bud and everybody in this place, when we get to the point where we're sick and tired of living the way we've been living and seeing the things happen that are happening in our families, in our society, in our life, when we get sick and tired of that, we get sick and tired of being sick and tired. God is ready to move. That's personal revival. In the second chapter of Acts, and I'm going to go there this morning, but that's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is poured out upon the disciples, and they speak in other tongues, and crazy things happen. Now, here's what I want you to understand. People are seeing all these things take place, and some of them, there's two groups of people. There's the world that is saying, this is crazy. These people are drunk. And Peter stands up and says, we're not drunk. It's too early in the morning to be drunk. We'll do that later. We're not drunk. We are under the influence of something much stronger than alcohol. We are under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And then there were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious people who said, this can't be of God. Look how undignified these people are acting. I want you to understand, every revival that has ever taken place, and the truth is, the only revival we've ever had is this one. The others have just been people pressing in to this, the fullness of the Spirit. You're not going to get any more of the Spirit. We use terminology like, give me more, fill us, stir us. Reality is, we have all the Holy Spirit we're ever going to get. You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's all you're going to get. But how much of you does the Holy Spirit have? That's the question.
Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Oh, my God.
And that's what revival is. It's when we come to that place where we say, Lord, take all of me. Stir me on the inside. Whatever it takes, Lord. I'm willing to do what it takes. I don't care what the world says about me. I don't care what the church thinks. What I care about is being in your presence and experiencing the fullness of your Spirit being poured out.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now, what I want you to understand is this, that when revival happens, just like it happened in the second chapter of Acts, when the Spirit was poured out, when that happens, awakening also happens. There's a difference between revival is God's people who are once born again or are born again. I don't want to say once. When you're born again, you're born again. Who are born again, having that Spirit renewed inside of them. That's revival. But if true revival takes place in a group of people, something else takes place. Something miraculous happens. And it's called an awakening that happens in society. The first great awakening was just that. The Church of Jesus Christ got serious about seeking the Lord and drawing closer to Him, and awakening took place in society. The second great awakening, the same thing. Many revivals, my study of revivals proved to me that when God's people get serious, when God's people understand what Chronicles says in 7:14, humble ourselves and pray and seek His face, when we get serious about that, there's an overflow, a spilling. We get so filled up that it spills out into society. And sometimes it's not because we say anything or do anything. It's just that we have gotten ourselves in the right place with the Lord so that it can flow out of the church. God's doing that. He wants to do it. His desire has always been to do it. The Holy Spirit is with us. The power of God is in us. Now the rest is up to us. Are we just comfortable with our lifestyle? We'll find out. Because there's going to be things asked of us that's going to make every one of us uncomfortable. But I can't live in this comfort zone any longer. I can't stay there. I like comfort. I like my couch at home. I like watching the NBA laying on my couch. But if that's all I ever do, my house will fall down around me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's what's going to happen to the church. If we don't get up, get out, get stirred in the power of God. Many revivals have taken place. But what it's going to take for us to see not only a revival, but an awakening will be for us to do what Jesus said. Tarry until it comes. Prepare yourself. Pray. Seek the face of God. We'll organize some events. We'll organize some prayer times. But how serious are you? Are you willing to give up some of the activities that are so important to you right now? I'm serious. We'll find out what's important to all of us. I'm struggling with it. I want you to understand that. This is not an easy thing to know that God is calling us to a higher standard. A closer walk with Him. I'm standing before you this morning with a stirring that's been going on in my soul for some time, and it's just coming to, it's bubbling up right now. It's stirring up. Glory. It's my brother is having a birthday party for his granddaughter today at his house. And he came to me and he said, you know, I want to make this bubble machine, this foam machine. So he needed a barrel, and we got a barrel, and he needed a shop vac. I had a little shop vac and some hose. I had the hose that he needed. And we took it down to his house, and he poured all the ingredients in that was needed. He prepared everything. We got the barrel. You have to have a towel to put over top of it, a strap to put around it to hold the towel in place. You had to put the hose from the shop vac down inside of it. Everything was in there, the soap, the water, the container was there. But it did not start making soaps and soap bubbles and suds until he added the air, the breath to it. That's what has to happen in us. The breath of God has to be breathed inside of us again. Let it happen, Lord. Let it take place. Glory. Right after the Second World War, not too long after it, 1949, group of islands outside of Scotland, west coast of Scotland, called the Hebrides. There were two ladies that lived on one of those islands called the Lewis Island. There were two faithful Christian women who were 82 and 84 years old. They were sisters and they loved the Lord. In fact, their father had built the church that was in the community. They were unable to attend any longer. But they made it a point to begin to pray. And they started praying twice a week. They would pray. It started late in the evening, and they'd pray until 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And God began to speak to them. He spoke to the one, Peggy. Peggy and Christine Smith was their name. Now, I want you to understand, I've done some research on this. I've read the transcript of the gentleman by the name of Duncan Campbell, who was the evangelist that was called in. Very humble, godly man. So all these things are documented, historical fact. They began to pray, and God started speaking to them. And he told Peggy, he gave them a word. He said, first of all, he said, the thirsty will be refreshed. And the flood will fill the dry land. They didn't know exactly what that meant, but they knew that God was speaking to them, and they stood on it, and they prayed it, and they believed it. Now, I want you to put this together. Thirsty, anyone who's thirsty will be filled. If we're thirsty, we'll be filled. But those who are thirsty will flow over. The flood will go out into the dry land that doesn't even know that it's dry. Doesn't realize it's dry, but it'll go out there. Now, here's what happened in the Hebrides. They began praying. They got a word from God. They felt one evening Peggy had a vision from the Lord. She saw the little church that her father had built filled with people. Not just people, but young adults, young people, who at this time in the history of the Hebrides had forsaken the church. And there was no young people found in any of the churches in any of the islands. They were on Lewis Island. She saw that vision, so she called the pastor together and to come and talk to her. And she told him about it. And he asked her, what should we do? She said, you need to pray. You need to press in. You need to seek God. So they began to organize prayer times. And it was in the winter, so they were praying in a barn. He gathered the men together. And I got to tell you, these were strong, powerful men who were not afraid to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's a real man as far as I'm concerned. And they humbled themselves and they prayed, and it was so cold sometimes that they had to crawl in the hay to stay warm. They got in there, they prayed, and things started happening. They started reciting scripture, and the power of God started stirring. You see, they were drawing close to the Lord, and just the Lord was stirring their spirit. They began to pray and seek the Lord, and the pastor said, you know, I know a man that we can bring in to stir a revival. And they called on Duncan Campbell, and Duncan came to the island, and when he got there, that little church filled up, but it filled up mostly with Christians, mostly with people who were seeking the face of God. Stirred, these people were stirred. There were a few non-believers there, but most of them were believers. And the non-believers, they gave an altar call, and people received Christ as their Savior. Praise God for that. They dismissed. Somewhere around midnight, things got so crazy and exciting. And Duncan was still there at the church after that, and people had been dismissed. And suddenly, the local blacksmith burst in the doors of the church, and he said, Pastor Campbell, we have been praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and it's happened. Duncan went outside, and what he saw was about 600 people gathered on the outside of that church. They couldn't fit inside the church. There's no way. But they were drawn, they were wooed by the Holy Spirit to come to that place. No one had put out any handbills. Nobody had preached to them. The power of God fell upon them. In one particular case, there was a group of young people who were in a dance hall, dancing, having a good time, and suddenly the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they all came running to the church. What must we do to be saved? That's the overflow that I'm talking about. When we get to the place where we are so close to God that it spills out into our society. Am I against preaching? No, we need to preach the word. We need to tell people there is salvation in Jesus Christ. If you do not turn from your wicked ways, there is a hell to be reckoned with. I don't want that for anybody. But there's life in Jesus Christ. There's abundant life. I don't want to preach a message of condemnation. It's not about that. What I'm preaching is there is hope in Jesus. There's abundant life, not only in the life hereafter, in the by and by, the sweet by and by. Praise God for that. But here in this earth. He wants us to live the abundant life so that others will see there is a God in heaven. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.